Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul addressed his brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. In the first passage, David is giving his deathbed charge to his son Solomon, who was to succeed him as the next king of Israel. He told him to show himself a man, and told him what that involved. It meant doing God's will, being obedient to God's word, living as God would have him to live. Friend, that is real manhood. In the second passage, Paul was instructing Christians in Corinth how to be faithful disciples. And among the instructions he gave was, quit you like men. And the word quit meant to behave and conduct themselves as a real man would, not as an immature child, but as a man. Every age has its desperate need for real men. And we use the term man here to mean, of course, men and women of certain kind and quality. But in this context, I want to use it mostly for males who are real men. We make a distinction between just being a male and being a real man. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1 reveals God's charge to the prophet. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it. Or Jeremiah could find any number of males, but the instruction implies he would have difficulty finding a real man, the kind and the quality that is described. Just what is a real man? Real manhood, friend, is not measured in physical power or prowess. It means more than just being physically strong with big biceps or tall or broad shoulders and such as that. The strongest man of the Bible was Samson, but he was a moral degenerate, weak in self-discipline, void of godly character. Goliath, the giant of the Philistines, was a physical giant, but one of the idolaters that fell before the young boy's sling. It takes more than physical bravery and athletic achievement and muscles to be classified as a real man in the sight of God. And it's more than just mental power and quickness of mind and wit. Solomon was the wisest who has ever lived except Christ, and yet he failed to heed the very instructions and directions his father David gave him. He lived an indulgent life of luxury and gradually turned to idolatry. He lived much of his life through wantonness, only to come to the ultimate conclusion that all that kind of life was vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, there are many so-called wise men of our time, and the scholars, and the geniuses in many respects, but they show themselves fools because they even deny the reality of God. Friend, they are not real men. Paul shows that real manhood is manifested by maturity in those things that matter. Behave like a man should behave, Paul says, before you call yourself a man. Do not continue to be as a child in conduct and think you are a man. Being a man, you should put away childish things and accept the duties and the work and the obligations of manhood before you classify yourself as a real man. The real man is one who accepts his duty to God and to his fellow man, whatever that duty is, and he discharges it faithfully to the very best of his ability. Just being a male does not mean that you are or shall necessarily ever be a real man in the evaluation of God. There are many poor excuses for men filling the roles of husbands and fathers today because they either do not know or will not accept their duty to God, to man, to wife, to children, to home, to the church. And what is the duty of a real man? He's to be the head of the home as Christ is the head of the church. And this is not an arbitrarily assigned duty, but one that has been designated by the Creator of the home, Almighty God. This rules out the henpecked husband. This outlaws a domineering wife and the weak husband figure. There is no more reason for a woman-governed home than there is for a woman-run church. God decreed that the man is to be the head of the home. God made Christ the head of the church, and God gave man to be head over the family. And variation from this is a variation from God's design, all the degenerate feminists notwithstanding. Attempts on the part of women to take over the home, assuming that they have husbands, is to show disrespect for the law of God. The failure to assume the duty over the home by the husband is another show of disrespect for the law of God. Regardless of what the fanatical women's rights perversity would have us to believe, this is God's will. And departure from this is already showing its deadly results in our society and all the rabble-rousing rubbish from whatsoever source cannot and will not prove otherwise. People are fools to listen to and give heed to those who show so little concern for the will of God. There are decisions in the home that the husband ought to be man enough to make, not leaving them to his wife to have to make, when many times she prefers not to make them anyway. Many wives have to make decisions sometimes that ought never be called upon to make because their husbands shirk the duty that is theirs. A wife has a right to a husband that will lead the family aright. Everyone in the family ought to be able to lean on him for support and direction. Some families are like the story where the wife makes all the little decisions and the husband makes the big ones. He decides whether America should declare war on an enemy, or when to send up the next space flight, or what to do about the nation's economy, all the big decisions. And she decides where they will live and what will be his occupation and where they will go to church if they go and how to spend the money and what to do about the children. That's the way some homes operate. Notice we said the husband ought to lead. We did not say and would not contend that the husband is to drive his wife and family. Attempting to be a dictator and a tyrant is not manly. A leader is always considerate of those he leads, sensitive to their needs, and what is in their best interest before himself. What would you think of a man's head that was indifferent to the welfare of the rest of his body? Would you rightly consider him just plain nuts? This is a good description of a man who runs his family without proper love and compassion and consideration and interest for those he leads. There is nothing manly about an abusive brute who throws around his authority, running roughshod over others. Only when he is a real leader is he a real man. And he has the duty to provide for the family as best he can. God gave man this duty to earn bread by the sweat of his brow. Unless there are reasons why he cannot provide for his family, it is unmanly for him to allow others to provide for him and his. The wife is to be the keeper of the home, the help that is suitable unto him. She is not to ordinarily be expected to be the provider unless there be extenuating circumstances that would demand her assistance. Too many men have allowed their wives to go to work outside the home, and the home and the children have been neglected for the sake of more and more money and things that money can buy. Now, you may not have as much, but what you can have will be worth far more than all that this world has to offer, and lose the precious souls of your children through your neglect and lack of attention and failure to supervise and guide because your wife is outside the home? This idea that a woman ought to work outside the home has harassed the home and marriage and society until America is suffering beyond measure, young and old. Young people, you need to think about that. Some men, of course, are just lazy. They're willing to let the wife work herself to an early grave while he loafs and plays and does as little as possible. But in emergencies, she should help if she can, provided the better things are not sacrificed. But we see too many planned emergencies that are nothing but manifestations of covetousness and greed. If a man does not provide for his own, Paul says he's worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Such spineless males can hardly be called real men. Advice to young men and young women is in order. Boys, do not marry until you're willing and can carry the load. Girls, do not marry if you're unwilling to be the homemaker, which is your primary work. You have no right to violate God's will by bringing children into a home that is turned upside down through the love of money. Learn to do your duty, both husband and wife. That is God's way. A real man is a good example to follow. You know, some think a real man is the kind that drinks beer and whiskey. We see it advertised all the time, some big hero guzzling down his booze as if he was a real man getting his gusto. What a distorted picture. He's simply a glutton and a wine bibber, not a real man. His evil appetite is showing his sons and daughters just what kind of person is supposed not to be, and he is deceived in thinking that is manhood. How many children grow up literally afraid of the presence of their father because he's a servant to the devil's brew? A real man is an example of honesty and clean living and clean speech and obedience to the law, respect for authority, truthfulness. Real men do not brag how they outwitted the policeman or cheated on a business deal. Fathers with sons in jail wonder why they ever turned out that way. And many of them can just look at the example they gave them and know why. When their mouth is stuffed with tobacco and chewing and smoking and cursing and swearing, what can you expect from that son or daughter who loves father, but he has taught them to be servants of the devil like he is? Real men will be concerned for the home and everyone in it. They will make time to be with their children and see to it that they are growing in the right direction. So many parents really do not know their children because they spend so few hours with them during the time of their upbringing. They're strangers to their children. Real men are examples of morality and responsibility and work and purity. Real men do not commit adultery. Real men do not forsake their families. Real men show the dignity and honor of labor to their family. And whether one is single or married, a father or not, a real man holds these things high on his list of that which is deserving of esteem. And please get the next point. No man is real who is not responsible for the spiritual welfare of those of his family, including his wife and every child. The admonition to train the child and bring the child up in the ways of God are assigned to fathers, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. In Proverbs 22:6, this is a duty that cannot be shifted to some other. Now others may help, and others may have it to do because the father fails to do it. But fathers are not real men who think that all they have to do is provide food and shelter and clothing and money and forsakes the duty of spiritual guidance and instruction. Some may think it manly to be crude and gruff and coarse and worldly and irreligious and indifferent to the Lord. They may think that church and Sunday school are for women and children and not real men, but they have it backward regarding what is a real man. A real man is Christ-like, walking daily in the ways of the Lord, living obediently to his every command. And this takes courage and honor and conviction. It requires loyalty and sacrifice. but to be a real man demands it. Being the family's religious leader is a sign of strength, not weakness. The failure in this realm is weakness, not strength. The big, beer-drinking, cursing, muscular, godless brute, he's really a dwarf. He's a pygmy in comparison to that person who lives nobly and honestly and truthfully with dignity, with love for God and for others, doing his daily duty in fearing God and keeping his commandments. And this person may be small, physically inferior, financially less blessed, and all else that the world considers so important. But when he does what God wants him to do, he is a real man. There's a story about a man who took his hog to the state fair, and he won first prize. But beside the pen was a boy, smoking, stunted in growth, given to profanity, a poor specimen of what a lad ought to be. It was the son of the hog's owner. He'd given more attention to the hog than to his son. Dear friend, nobody has a right to claim to be a real man until the souls of his wife and children are first and foremost in his concern. And until you do your duty before God, regardless of whatever measure you may use to test your manhood, you're not there until God approves of you. We all do well then to hear and to heed David's words to Solomon, "Show thyself a man." And to listen to Paul, "Quit ye like men." Be a faithful Christian, leading the home, providing as best you can, being a good example, and showing those in your charge the way to heaven. This is a real man. And this has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.